from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6.1.10. Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes one who is very alert so as not to commit sinful acts is victimized by sinful life again. I therefore consider this process of repeating sinning and atoning to be useless. It is like the bathing of an elephant. For an elephant cleanses itself by taking a full bath, but then throws dust all over its head and body as soon as it returns to the land. Srila Prabhupada's purport. When Parikshit Maharaj inquired how a human being could free himself from sinful activities so as not to be forced to go to hellish planetary systems after death, Shukadeva Goswami answered that the process of countering sinful life is atonement. In this way, Shukadeva Goswami tested the intelligence of Maharaj Parikshit, who passed the examination by refusing to accept this process as genuine. Now, Parikshit Maharaj is expecting another answer from his spiritual master, Shukadeva Goswami. This chapter is entitled The History of the Life of the Jamyo. Verse again, Kvachin nivartate bhadrat kvachit charati tat punaha prayaschitam ato bhartam manye kuntara sochavat. Translation, sometimes one who is very alert as to not commit sinful acts is victimized by sinful life again. Therefore, I consider this process of repeated sinning and atoning to be useless. It is like the bathing of an elephant. For an elephant cleanses itself by taking a full bath, but then throws dust over its head and body as soon as it returns to the land. In the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami is explaining to Parikshit Maharaj the different hellish conditions by which the living entity is put into for his violation of the laws of God. By committing sin, or what they say, abhadrat. The word here is abhadra. Abhadra means auspicious and good things. Subhadra. The name of Krishna's sister is Subhadra, because she brings all good things. She blesses everyone with Krishna consciousness. She is the personification of Yogamaya. So Yogamaya brings all good things. So this is Bhadra. Bhadra means auspicious or good. And Subhadra means very good and very auspicious. So Abhadra means without auspiciousness or without goodness or no good, bad activities. So Shukamuni is explaining, if one performs bad activities or sinful activities, he has to go to so many different hellish planets. 24 hellish planets are mentioned. Kumbhi, there's Kumbhi Paka. If you engage in eating unmentionable things, then you have to go and be boiled in oil. Just as you boil those unfortunate living entities in oil, you have to go to a planet and be boiled there. And like this, one after the other, there's punishments. So then, Shukadeva explains to Parikshit Maharaj how to counteract those sins by atonement. But the problem with mundane atonement is that you do one bad thing, then you cancel it by one good thing. It's just like you owe someone 100 rupees. So now you're in debt. You're in a negative position. But then you give them 100 rupees, then you're neutral. Then you're solvent. You're no longer a debtor. So you commit a sinful activity, then you become a debtor. Become indebted to the Supreme Lord, because you have to be punished for the sin. But then if you do prayaschitta, if you worship various demigods and also various forms of the Lord, you can become absolved. You become, again, neutral. But the problem with this type of atonement is that, as the analogy in this verse explains, the elephant goes in the water, he becomes clean. Then he goes to the bank and he rolls in the dust and becomes dirty again. So what is the progress? There's no progress. He was dirty, then clean momentarily, and again dirty. So the same way, one who sins or commits sinful activities, his heart is dirty. Just like the elephant's body is dirty, our heart is dirty. is dirty with common crowd and lobha, lust, anger, and greed. This is dirt and filth and contamination of the soul. So then, we commit, because of this, these anarthas, this parabdha karma, the karma that we carry over from our previous lives, which forces us and impels us to engage in wrong activities or sinful activities, this karma causes us to sin, to break the laws of God. And then for a person who's pious at the same time, he tries to atone. He feels repentant. He feels sorrowful. Oh, I'm very sorry, my Lord. What can I do to counteract this sin? So then different atonements are given in the Puranas, especially in the Puranic literature. But the Bhagavatam is known as Amala Purana. Amala means no mal. Means there's no dirt. There's no dirty conceptions. There's no imperfect conceptions of the Absolute. There's the perfect conception of the personality of Godhead, full of all rasa and all reciprocation with his loving devotees. And the process of purification that is explained in the Amala Purana is the most pure and the most perfect. It is absolutely pure and absolutely perfect. And that process, which we're leading up to in this famous story, the history of Jamil, is being hinted at here, because Pariksit is saying, you explain hell and how people go there, and then you explain how you can counteract it by atonement, but still we see that people who have a desire to sin, they commit sin, and then again they commit sin, and it's an endless cycle. They commit sin and they make atonement and they commit sin again. So why is this? Because this atonement does not remove the desire, does not remove the mula, the kam mula, the desire for activity, is not removed by ordinary prayaschitta, ordinary atonement. So then Shukadeva Goswami is going to explain, there is one way, harinama harinama eva kevalam, kalohanasteva nasteva nasteva gatiranyata. He said there's one way by which you can fully purify the heart, cheto dharpana marjanam. The dharpana, the consciousness of the heart, can be cleansed by this process of chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This is the perfect method of self-purification. This is the perfect method for self-realization in this age. We hear it time and time again, and we actually have experience of it. Each living entity, each one of us in this room, has our particular individual karma, which we carry with us. And it's influencing us to look in a certain way, a certain type of body. It's influencing us to think in a certain type of way, have a certain view of the world, a certain view of other people. Some people are, by karmic nature, they're very envious of others. They can't help it. It's something from their last life, some bad karma. So they have this kind of outlook. It's very great anartha to become free from. Envy is the greatest impediment, because envy can't be used in Krishna's service. You can use greed in Krishna's service and intense desire or lust in Krishna's service, but envy, there's really no place for envy in the spiritual world. So these anarthas we have that determine our activities and our thinking. So they cause us to move in certain ways. But the chanting of Hare Krishna removes those anarthas. And devotees, as years go by, they can see that even if a tendency due to karma comes up within ourselves to engage in some activity, that tendency is very weak. It has very little strength to force us or to push us in that direction. But for a non-devotee, what to speak of the majority of the people in the material world, they don't do any atonement. What is atonement? The only atonement, the only conception of atonement you find some in the Christian conception, that they say that, well, we know we've done wrong, and we know we're sinners, but we really can't atone. There's really nothing we can do about ourselves. The soul is willing, but the body is weak. They say, like, the soul, my soul, I want to be a good person, but I can't because of my body and mind, which means because of my karma, I can't be a good person. So the soul is willing. Inside, deep inside, where my soul is, I really want to be a good Christian or a good whatever. But I can't. So what to do? So they have a very nice system. You get one carte blanche card, one diner's club card, one credit card. You just surrender to Jesus. Jesus will pay the debt. Jesus will, we're weak, but Jesus is very strong. He's a pure devotee. He's the Son of God. He can carry all of our sins. So there's no atonement, but they have the idea we should atone, so let Jesus do it for us. Let Jesus pay our debt. Just like they have this phrase we remember when we were Christians, they keep some saint on the dashboard, you know, on their car, in the front of their car by the kirki, by the window. They keep one statue of Jesus with his hands like this, usually like this. And they say like this, they say, I don't care if it rains or freezes as long as I have my plastic Jesus. If it rains or freezes, if, in other words, if there's difficulty comes to me, or bad karma comes to me, or trepidation, or difficulty, or suffering, or disease, or adiatmic miseries, or adibodhic, or adidaivaka, rain and snow, that's all adidaivaka. So many miseries are caused by our karma. Why are some people born in Alaska and some people are born in Hawaii, where they never have any rain or never have any cold weather? It's all karma, where you're born. So that is their idea of atonement. Okay, whatever happens to me, I have my statue of Jesus, or I have the name of Jesus, that's all. But we see that they don't make any progress. They go on saying this mantra, Jesus' mantra, for 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, and they feel some sentimental religious feeling, but there's no purification for the majority. Because of the depth of their prayer is very shallow, and their realization is very weak, and they're actually, that is not the process. The process is to glorify the name of the Lord. Even their own scripture explains this. Hallowed be thy name. So this is the wonderful contribution of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he's given the perfect process of purification for this age. Admittedly, we're in Kali Yuga, and we're very weak. And we're very, as Sukamuni explains in the first canto of Bhagavatam, Sumanda Matiyo, we're lazy, we have no determination, we're lazy, we're foolish, we have all the wrong ideas and wrong ambitions and desires, but nevertheless, despite all these inadequacies and anomalies in the age of Kali, which we're all subject to, Lord Chaitanya has given the most wonderful process of just chanting the holy names. They were teaching some Hindi for 1 month, and they were explaining that more you read the Hindi, the more you read the mantras, and you read and you speak, pretty soon the form of the language will be manifest to you. The actual, the living form, of, they even have this conception. So I said, oh, very nice, nam and then rup. We have the same thing. Prabhupada explained, first you chant the name, purely, without any ambitions or personal motivations, simply to please Krishna, to serve Krishna. This is the conception. Every mantra has a conception. Without a conception, there can't be fruit. If, in other words, if a seed is not defined, how can it express itself? A seed has a definition. You take a seed of a mango, it is defined, it has a conception. What is the conception within that seed? That I will become a mango tree and produce fruits. That is a conception within the seed. So within the mantra that's given a diksha, or harinam, the guru gives a conception. The mantra is a bija, bija mantra. Klim, rim, om, Hare Krishna. These are mantras. So there's a seed there. And that seed, that conception of the mantra is given by guru. So Prabhupada gave us, there's so many conceptions, but Prabhupada gave us a perfect conception of the Hare Krishna mantra. The service connection. The service conception. That, oh my Lord, I'm very fallen. But please, I'm praying to your compassionate side. Who is the compassionate side of God? Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani, she is Karunamayi. She is the energy, she's the Mayi. She's Karunamayi. She's the embodiment, personification of unlimited compassion and mercy. And she wanted so much to express her mercy for the fallen souls of Kali Yuga, she couldn't contain herself. Just as Krishna had three desires why he came to this world, to spread the mercy of Krishna consciousness in the holy name, and also to taste the love and beauty and experience of Radharani. Radharani also had a desire. She said, Krishna, everyone's suffering so much. Please save them. Can't we do something? So then she herself came as Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Nahe Krishna. Nahe Krishna, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nahe Anya. Nahe Anya, no other. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna. Dui Rup, Ek Rup. So Radharani is expressing her compassion in a form. That compassion of Radharani, that mercy of Radharani, is expanded by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Sankirtan movement, which is inundating the whole world. And Srila Prabhupada, he was the greatest messenger of that mercy. He was the greatest carrier of that mercy. He was so much fixed at the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. From the time he was just a baby, his father was praying to him, praying to the sadhus and the Vaishnavas and the Gaudiya Vaishnavas who would visit his home. Because when you serve a Vaishnava, it is your right to ask for blessings. Ashirvar. Is it Ashirvar? It is your right to ask for blessings. This is Shastric. Please bless me. Just as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was a sannyasi, and he gave blessings. It isn't that people would just pay obeisances and he'd walk by and just look the other way and, you know, curl his sikh around or something. He would stop and bless them. Krishne Matir Astu. May your opinion, may your idea, your matir, may your mind become inclined to Krishna. Krishna Matir. Matir means your mind, your thinking, your desire, your conception. May it go to Krishna. Jivera Swarupaya Krishnera Nityadas. May you bless everyone. You have this. So it's the duty of a devotee to bless. So how do we bless any? How do we... Well, I'm just a normal devotee. I'm not a big this or big that. How do I bless someone? You bless someone by giving them Krishna consciousness. Excuse me, sir. We're giving these out today. Yeah, take it with you. Just take... Where are you from? Really, this, that. Oh, that's nice. And well, how long are you going to be in Delhi? Very nice. Oh, this book, and then you start opening the book, and you show him, and da-da-da-da-da. Then you talk again and more about him, and how are you, this and that. And then if you capture him by your purity, and by your compassion, and by your carrying that service mood, you want to be a servant of Radharani. This is the greatest service to Radharani. Book distribution. Some of the greatest book distributors are some of the dearest devotees of Radharani. Definitely. So then the person says, yes, surely I'll take it. I don't know what the book's about, but I like you. I don't know what you're doing here. Yeah, all right, I'll take the book. How much do you want? Okay, 100 rupees, whatever. Okay, great, take it. Because you capture their heart. So this is the blessing. You turn their mind to Krishna in the mood of Lord Chaitanya. We're all sannyasis and sannyasinis. In that mood of giving Krishna to others. So this is the duty of a saintly person or a sadhu, is to bless other ones. To bless people by book distribution, by giving the holy name, by giving time, preaching. This is the real blessing. So Lord Chaitanya, he came to give this, and Srila Prabhupada, he carried that mercy all around the world. So this is a great contribution that Lord Chaitanya is giving, and we can contribute to the whole world. A positive, powerful, perfect, and pure method of self-purification. In the Western countries, they have many types of people have the idea that lust is a bad thing, that lust and greed and anger are bad qualities. They inhibit progress. They block our advancement, even in the material field. So the mundane psychologists and psychiatrists of the Western world, they try to develop systems and processes for self-purification, self-realization, self-actualization. We use all these types of terms. Self-actualization. Well, the actual fact is that we're all part and parcel of God. We're eternal spiritual beings. We're not this body, which is only temporary. It's a designation only. But their processes don't work. People stay in the same ignorance, same position of suffering, bombarded by their material desires, and forced to recklessly live in a life bound by bad karma. So this is the unfortunate position of the people in this age of Kali, the age of darkness, the age of illusion. So Shukadev Muni, he's feeling very compassionate here, or rather Parikshit Maharaj, he's saying, "This, I don't want to hear these processes of atonement, I want the real thing. What will really work? What will really purify people and elevate people?" So then Shukadev Goswami will begin to answer this question by explaining the power, by a wonderful story, explain the power of the chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Just like an example of the compassion of Srimati Radharani, just as Radharani is compassionate, so Lakshmi Devi, who is an expansion from Radharani, she's also very compassionate. So when Radharani was feeling so much compassion for the fallen souls, in other words, where the suffering is greatest, the compassion is always greater. Just like they have, and during the war times, they tell the medics, that, or the doctors, emergency doctors, they say, try to go and save the people that can be saved. Those that are two that are all about to die, you can't spend it, you can't help them because they're going to die. Save those that are, you only have a few doctors and so many people wounded. So Radharani's mercy is like that. In the age of Kali, the living entities are so wounded and so destroyed and so unfortunate that we're suffering the most in this age, more than Treta Yuga or the previous ages. So Radharani's compassion is so much that she comes as a form of Lord Gauranga. Previously, Draupadi, in this same age of Kali, she was a victim of the lusty ambitions and desires of the Kauravas. And in the Hastinapur, she was being disrobed by Dushasan and Shakuni and all the lusty, unfortunate members of the Kaurava dynasty. They were trying to disrobe because in a gambling match with the Pandavas and the Kauravas, they had lost everything, and even their queen, Draupadi. So Draupadi was there, and they're trying to pull the sari of Draupadi. And she's praying, "Oh, Vishnu," because she was a devotee of Vishnu, Krishna. She's praying, "Oh, Vishnu, please save me. You're the deliverer." And she's praying like that, but she's holding on like this. She's holding on to her sari with one hand very tightly and holding her hand up in supplication, begging mood, "Please, Vishnu, please help me." And Vishnu is just in Vaikuntha. He's eating prasadam. And he's not concerned. He doesn't feel anything, any concern. He's busy taking prasad. And Lakshmi Devi, she's becoming frantic. His wife, Vishnu's wife, Lakshmi Devi, Narayan's wife, she's becoming very frantic and feeling very bad. Her fellow queen, Draupadi, who's practically like the goddess of fortune herself, just like a sister, like practically an expansion of Lakshmi Devi. She's saying, "Narayan, look what's happening. In this public assembly, a disgraceful thing is about to occur. How can you just sit there and eat laddus and kachoris?" You know, they say Rome burned while Nehru fiddled or something. Nehru played his violin and Rome was burning up or some thing they say like that. But so Vishnu, he's just eating, and Lakshmi Devi, she's jumping, "Please, you do something. Where's your compassion? You have all good qualities. Karuna is one of them." He said, "Don't worry, time hasn't come. Time hasn't come." So she's holding and she's crying, and then at the last minute she realized that, "I can't hold on anymore. I have no more strength. My strength is gone. I'm a weak woman. It's a powerful Kshatriya. I can fight with lions and elephants. What can I do?" And her strength, she was becoming weaker and weaker, and she couldn't hold any more tight on her sari. She was pulling. So finally, with both hands, Atmanivedanam, full surrender, both hands up, she said, "Narayan!" And then, so Lord Narayan gave unlimited sari to Draupadi, unlimited. And then Lakshmi said, "Oh, finally." So the idea is, the point is, that Vishnu, Krishna, is ready to protect the devotee at any time, in any place, but the devotee has to be surrendered. Not that, "Oh, Krishna, protect me," and then you have some idea of some other protection. When one is fully surrendered to Krishna, then he's fully protected by Krishna. This is the point. So that compassion, Lakshmi had so much compassion, that is the same compassion Radharani feels. She sees everyone is suffering. Everyone is being disrobed and dismantled by the material energy. Everyone is being destroyed and eliminated, and just all things are ruined in this age of Kali. So she's come as Lord Chaitanya and her line of devotees. The Gaudiya Vaishnavas especially are carrying this mercy of preaching and giving the holy name and all the explanations of devotional service so that everyone can attain purity. And from purity, everything else will be revealed by the mercy of the holy name and by Guru. So we'll stop there if there's any questions. Devotee explained, or is asking a question, that simply to live in this material world, one is forced, every single person is forced to commit 5 types of imperceptible sinful activities. Imperceptible means you can't perceive them. Perceive means to see or understand. You think you're a good guy. I'm a good man, I'm a good lady. I go to church and I read the Bible and I walk here and there and I play tennis and I'm a good person. But actually you're a bad person, you're a murderer. You're committing murder. You're killing so many living entities. So the Bhagavatam explains, and Prabhupada also explains, there's 5 kinds of sinful activities that we engage in simply to exist, to eat, and to drink, and to walk, and to move, and to breathe. So when we breathe, we inhale, or we yawn, and so many little insects go in our nose and in our mouth. Everyone's had the experience. Or in your eye, you know, right in your eye. And that living entity, that insect is finished. He's killed. And when we wash with water, there's so many small living entities there crawling around the water pot or in the bucket or whatever. They drown in the bucket from the night before if you store water. Or when you're washing your hands, there's so many small living entities. When you move with water, kill living entities. When you walk in the street, as the person mentioned, devotee mentioned, we have to walk unless you can fly through the air. And even the best, you know, adept at yoga, you know, levitation can only fly off the ground for a few seconds. So unless you can fly around in the air, you have to walk on the ground and step on so many little ants and bugs and whatnot. And then, so there's when you're walking, when you're drinking or using water, and then when you're crushing spices for masala, inside the spices, do you take each little black peppercorn and do you open it up and see if there's a little somebody living inside that apartment? That's an apartment. That's a little apartment. A little, kamra. Choti kamra. Kita under. K under. So there's in the inside the little black. And so do you open each one? Well, come out of there. Because I'm not, you know. No, you simply take the peppercorns, put them on the stone, or put them in your thing or whatever, and you make pepper. And you kill so many living entities when you're grinding spices. And this is also killing. And then when you're cooking, you turn on the flame or you make the wood, and you kill so many living entities, they fly into the fire or they're inside the wood, living in there. There's a big problem. So these are called, we can't see them and we're not thinking about them, but we're sinning, we're killing living entities. The Prophet said, Hirachur, Hirachur, Kirachur. Hirachur, Kirachur. Hira means diamond, and Kira means cucumber, I think. Is it Kira? Hirachur, Kirachur. Whether you steal a diamond, if you're a thief, or a chur means thief, like Vamsi Chori. Radharani's name is Vamsi Chori. She steals Krishna's Vamsi. So she's known as this. So chur means to steal. So if someone steals a cucumber or he steals a diamond, hira, it's still stealing and he has to be punished. If you do that in a Muslim country, they won't say, oh, a cucumber, it's only 1 rupee, but a diamond was 1 lakh of rupees, 5-carat diamond or something, a big diamond, 1 lakh rupees. So, no, you steal a cucumber in Iran, you get your hands cut off. Hot cut them. No more hands. They cut your hands off. And if you steal a diamond, they cut your hands off too. They don't cut off your hands and your nose also. No, oh, you took a diamond, you have to lose your hands and your nose. No, same. So this is the idea that whether you kill a big living entity, some big animal or some other, you know, animal of this world, or whether you kill a little insect, it's still killing. There's a jiva there who lost his life by your negligence, by your unconsciousness. So that person, which is 99% of the person, they have to suffer for that. They have to suffer bad karma. But the devotees, because as we hear from Ambarish Maharaj, who set the wonderful standard of Shravanam Kirtanam, or Vachamsi Vaikuntha Gunanavarnane, Vachamsi Vaikuntha Gunanavarnane, he was engaging all of his senses in the service of Krishna. Vachamsi, Vaikuntha Gunana, his vacha, his words were always glorifying the Vaikuntha Gun, the qualities of Vaikuntha, the qualities of Vaikunthanath. He was glorifying Narayan and Krishna. Vachamsi, Vaikuntha Gunana Varnane. And all his activities, his hands were used for washing the temple of the Lord, his feet were used for walking to the temple, or going on Sankirtan. So the devotees are like that. They're inspired by Ambarish Maharaj, and under the order, if one stays strictly under the order of his spiritual master, he's following in the footsteps of Ambarish Maharaj and all the Mahajans. Mahajana Yena Kata Sapanta. So, Mahajana Yena Kata Sapanta, Panta means the rasta, the path. If you're following the Mahajan, then they're walking on the path of no karma, akarma. They're walking on the pure path. Their path is pure. And if you're walking behind them, you're walking on the pure path. Pure path means there's no karma. There's no bad karma. So a devotee, all of his all of his activities are engaged in Krishna's service, and therefore there's no karmic reaction. But the minute you take a step off the line, the minute you take a step outside of Krishna's service, then you're subject to that karma. If you walk somewhere, you think, well, I finished my sankirtan quota, I had to do so many books, I have a little extra money, and there's a good movie in town, I think I should go over and see this movie. So then you start walking over to the movie. As soon as you take that step, you're accruing karma. Because you're outside the order of your Gurudev. You're off the path of the Mahajans. You're not on the path of purity. You're on the path of contamination. You're on the path of bondage. Mahadwaram ahorami muktes, tamo dwaram yoshita sangi sangam. Mahadwaram ahorami muktes, the door that the Mahatmas open, that is the door to mukti. The Mahatmas open the door and say, yes, come in. Jai. Come into the spiritual world. Jai, Shri Gaur Nityai ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.